state lawmakers made it easier last year for homeless youth to find a place to stay in Wisconsin. But advocates say there's still a lot more that needs to be done for young people without shelter. In a new piece from Wisconsin Watch and the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service, our next guest says even the size of the problem may be much bigger than we know. Jim Malowitz is the investigations editor at Wisconsin Watch. He edited their latest story, Nowhere to Go, Why Wisconsin's Homeless Youth Go Uncounted and Underserved. Jim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's go with this uncounted part of the story here first. The state has an idea, we think, of how many homeless unaccompanied teens there are in the state. From this reporting, it sounds like we don't really have those numbers.
Right. It's really hard to know. The state estimates overall for its total population, not just youth, that there's about 22,000 people statewide who have received services from shelters and other temporary living facilities. And only about 500 of them are unaccompanied youth. But that probably vastly undercounts how many youth don't have a stable place to go. That's just how many are served. And in Milwaukee alone, the Milwaukee Public School District is serving something along the lines of 5,000 youth who don't have a stable living situation.
Talk about some of the stories that might have a young person homeless and, you know, scrounging for a place to stay, but not either not seeking those services or not being eligible to receive services.
Sure. So our reporters, Francisco Velasquez and Princess Safia Byers of Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service, they followed the story of Diana Sanchez, who was in Milwaukee in her final year of high school. She lives now in New Jersey. But she had a situation where she was basically hopping couches among her extended family at first, going from her aunt's place to her uncle's place and sort of feeling unwelcome there, and then having to look for friends to house her temporarily for about her whole senior year at an alternative school. And so she recalls trying to stay at school later than she was welcome there, and having a police call to escort her out of the building at times when she was waiting for one of these couches to open up. So she recalls it being a really tough time for her to be able to focus on school in her final year of high school. And she even did look for shelter from a homeless shelter from other programs, but was often found that these programs served kind of different segments of youth that she wasn't a part of, whether it was someone who was pregnant, which she wasn't, or someone who had been in trouble with the law, which she wasn't. So she really found nowhere stable to go.
One of the saddest things shared in the story is that in some cases, teens who are homeless would actually try to get in trouble with the law to have a place to stay. Do I have that right?
Right. That's what some of the youth advocates in Milwaukee were telling our reporters, that they were so desperate that they would figure that was maybe the most stable thing to do, was once you get in trouble with the law, then you're in the criminal system, the juvenile justice system, but at least then you're directed somewhere to go.
There have been changes in state law. There's a big task force over the last couple of years looking at homelessness. What kind of changes came out of that might be at least partly relevant to homeless teens?
Right. So Governor Walker in 2017 convened a task force on homelessness in general. And one of the recommendations that came out of that task force and is now law is Act 22, which is a law that Governor Evers signed just this last year that allows unaccompanied 17-year-olds to check into homeless shelters or these transitional living facilities that try to arrange longer-term housing for youth, check into them without parental supervision. Because before, a teen without a parent couldn't just sign themselves in. So that law targets only 17-year-olds. So it's a very small segment of that population. But advocates are saying that's a start to eliminate some of the barriers, but it still depends upon which teens are aware of the options and actually identifying themselves as homeless.
Now, as we mentioned, some teens might actually use the status of being in trouble with the law in the hopes of getting a place to stay. Other people your reporters talked to found that some teens didn't want to reach out for help because they didn't want to get caught up in the social service system or the criminal justice system.
Exactly. These teens might just not want to draw attention to themselves, whether it's at school or someone else, somewhere else, in fear of just being part of that overall system. And once you're a part of the criminal justice system, it's often hard to get out, even if you commit a minor offense. There's a 2014 state report that showed that about a third of youth who offend initially will reoffend in the coming year.
Talking to Jim Malowitz, investigations editor at Wisconsin Watch. A new piece from Wisconsin Watch and the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service looks at teens who are homeless, finds they are undercounted in the state and have trouble accessing services they might need. Jim, a lot of the focus of this reporting is in Milwaukee, but this is not just a Milwaukee story in Wisconsin, is it?
It's not. You know, the focus here was Milwaukee because we partnered with a Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service, and of course it's the biggest city in Wisconsin, but it is a statewide issue. There are thousands more beyond Milwaukee of homeless youth that are likely struggling to get services.
Now, there's one effort in La Crosse trying to provide host homes for people who are homeless. And I think other places than La Crosse, but this is one your team had focused on. What is that?
Right. So the host homes program is managed by a nonprofit in La Crosse that basically finds volunteers within the community to host homeless teens. And it might sound a little bit like a foster care program, but it's different in that in the foster system, these are teens who are sort of already entered into the system and don't really have a choice as to where they go. In this case, the teens themselves, the youth, are also volunteering to come find a home. So it's the type of program that Diana Sanchez, the teen, now adult, who we talked to for the story, said that she would have liked to have something like that in Milwaukee, where she was looking for somewhere to go. And in La Crosse, there at least is this one program that to serve that community's homeless youth.
When it comes to the scope of the problem, how many teens are dealing with homelessness who, again, aren't counted, is somebody trying to count? Is somebody trying to get a better sense, apart from this kind of reporting, trying to get a better official sense of how many teens are out there?
That's a good question. I mean, I think it, again, depends on like what the definition is. So there are various groups that serve the homeless, like shelters that are, they're all plugged into sort of one network where they record how many people that they serve. And also school systems do tend to record how many youth they serve with services that they have to offer. But I'm not sure beyond that, beyond sort of those individual groups, whether there's any even broader effort to count. It's just really hard to get a sense of it.
On the service side, you mentioned that there might be a program for pregnant teens, for people who have had trouble with the law. But a lot of people would fall through the cracks because they don't fit those categories. Is there an effort out there to fill those gaps?
Definitely. And so in the homeless homelessness task force that Governor Walker had put together, there were a lot of recommendations aimed at helping fill those gaps. And one of them is kind of along the lines of the host homes program we talked about, a broader effort in what's called transitional living, which isn't just the day-to-day, night-to-night shelter living, but these programs that will provide services to teens that they're that enroll in them and then try to get them longer-term living.
It seems reading the story of Diana Sanchez, I mean, she has a unique story in many ways with her family, her mom being out of the state, a lot going into this. It seems like it might be hard to come up with a one-size-fits-all approach because every one of these homeless teens in the statistic, whatever the number is, has their own unique story, too.
Definitely. And I think it kind of gets at the chronic nature of homelessness in some sense, that it's probably a lot easier to address some of the broader social problems that are leading teens to be homeless rather than having to then react once and sort of catch that population once they do lose homes and lose that stability. So there's probably a lot like much more broader efforts that could be done.
And finally, Diana Sanchez was kind of the center of this story. Where you mentioned she's in New Jersey now. What do we know about how she came through that senior year, basically couch to couch?
Right. So there is a nice little ending. She says she's not in the most stable position right now, but she is living with her mother, who had been living in New Jersey also while Diana was in high school. So now that she's an adult, she said that her mother is able to kind of live alongside her. And it was just in the past, her mom didn't feel like, she said that she had the ability to raise what had been a youth, a teenager. Now that she's 19, she does have a job in New Jersey at Fila, the clothing company. And so she has a roof over her head that's a little bit more stable.
Jim, thanks a lot for sharing this with us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jim Malowitz, investigations editor at Wisconsin Watch. He was with us today to talk about their latest story, Nowhere to Go, Why Wisconsin's Homeless Youth Go Uncounted and Underserved. You can find a link to that story at WPR.org/Central Time.